Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Day player on 720 WGN. So it's time to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Chicago's premier Irish pub, Chief O'Neill's, with their first annual Irish Spirits Festival, offering the very best in Irish crafted vodkas, gin, single malt, single pot still, single grain, and blended whiskeys from around the Emerald Isle. Chief O'Neill's Irish Spirits Festival will be a unique and rare opportunity to meet some of the people behind the new and iconic spirits coming from Ireland, plus experience the products themselves being produced in the phenomenal Irish distilleries. Now, Chris Duffy, the voice of WGN, creative service manager, joins me in studio.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
You just took a pretty much a whiskey tour all through Ireland, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of an Ireland tour.
Yeah, right.
With a name like Duffy, it was about time, actually. So we did north to south, east to west, took 10 days and saw as much as we could.
But awesome. Yeah,
there was a lot of whiskey involved.
There was a lot of whiskey.
Yes, and one great Mai Tai, but that's another story.
Mai Tai. Okay, that's great. And joining us, really, to break it all down are the proprietors of Chief O'Neill's. That's Brenda and Siobhan McKinney, along with the master of whiskey, Martin Duffy. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
What's happening? What a nice title you've got there.
It's an older title. It's not exactly
well earned.
All right. What is your current title?
I'm actually the U.S. brand representative for Glencairn Crystal. We make the very iconic whiskey glass.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Two guys named Duffy on the whiskey segment.
I know.
I'm shocked, right? I tell you.
Who would have thought?
There's not enough.
Chief
enough
O'Neill
Duffy's.
Celebrating 20 years this year. How cool is that?
Fantastic. We're
very cool.
Excited, yeah.
Now, how did it all get started? Because you guys weren't even in this business whatsoever. So
we were in the insurance industry. We were insurance brokers. And then just one weekend, I said to Brendan, you know, we should do something fun. I mean, insurance, you know. We should do something fun for the weekend. So, well, what would that be? I said, well, we should open a little Irish pub where we can just go and hang out on the weekends and play some music. We're both musicians and have some drinks. And that's where it all started.
But let me ask you this, though. So did you experience some of the Irish pubs around Chicago and go, this isn't quite what I know?
Yeah, I mean, we were playing music on the weekends at different pubs, actually Nevins in Evanston and a number of other sessions. We were leading a number of other Irish sessions around town. So we did enjoy being in the pub atmosphere, and we loved going there on the weekends. So we thought, well, we could just have our own and go to our own place.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But it was just for a hobby, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just a hobby.
20-year hobby, right?
Just a hobby. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Brendan, who was Chief O'Neill, the man himself?
Chief O'Neill. Chief O'Neill was the police chief at the turn of the century in Chicago, and he was really celebrated as a non-corruptible police official, and he had a stellar police career, created the badge, police badge with the number embossed in it, which they kept until the 50s in Chicago and adopted that style of badge in New York and all the big metropolitan cities. But our interest in him was the music, in that he would, because of the mass immigration out of Ireland, our music was really disappearing at an alarming rate, because it's a local oral tradition. And when people left the local communities, a lot of the music was disappearing. And he recognized this and started collecting the tunes. Getting the musicians come in. Occasionally, he might get a fiddle player a job on the force.
Only
occasionally. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But he wrote one of the largest anthologies of Irish music and written it down in a really professional, really organized way, which was a really non-Irish thing to do, but it was a great thing that he had done. And he is really credited in Ireland as well as
you have
being
a copy of that, don't you, Brendan?
We have an original copy in a cabinet in Chief O'Neill, signed by the chief.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Because isn't some of his archives and stuff, isn't that University of Notre Dame, right?
Notre Dame, yeah, correct. A lot of the wax cylinder recordings and a lot of really, really neat things.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that Chief O'Neill did all this, you know, out of his own money. He did everything, you know, himself. It wasn't funded. He produced several books after that. But people today in Ireland and all over the world learn from that 101 101 tunes that he produced back then. So it's important to know
that's
that
very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very cool.
It's really cool.
And you've got a great place and fabulous food and great drinks. And now you came and pulled this together, this annual Irish Spirits Festival. It's going to be Friday, March 1st from 6:30 to 9. In brief, Mr. Duffy, what is the history of Irish whiskey?
The history of Irish whiskey is the history of Ireland, really. They are intertwined. It's thought that it was the Christian monks that brought the art of distilling to Ireland. Now, Ireland already had beer, or a form of it, for about 5,000 years before that. They found rudimentary forms of ale in Ireland. So, if you think about it, what they probably did was, if you've been to Ireland, as you have, Chris. It is cold and wet. It didn't. It was probably a. They thought, let's heat it up. They were definitely trying to make medicine, but all Irish whiskey is distilled beer. So every time you drink Irish whiskey, you're drinking distilled beer. Every time you drink beer, you're drinking watered down whiskey. So you're getting ripped off. And if you're drinking light beer, you're drinking crap. So
if it's not Irish, it's crap.
There it is. That's right.
And then below crap is summer shandy.
I like that.
So, Chris, when you were in Ireland, like what were the highlights for you as far as visiting some of these distilleries?
Well, we did the Jameson tour, the old Jameson distillery, which is in Dublin, obviously. And Dublin's kind of like Disney World to American tourists. You know,
sure.
It's designed for you right there. Mm-hmm. They actually distill Jameson in the south of the country now, in Middleton. And but the old original was kind of, you know, a fun thing to go to and do your tasting and everything like that.
Yeah. And take a picture in front of the big opening there.
The one thing, you know, I mean, I have been a fan of Irish whiskey, you know, since I was a child.
Well,
didn't quite come out right.
Did you get it on your gums?
Well, it's not just for breakfast anymore.
No.
The one thing that surprised me and that I learned, I mean, I learned a lot of things on these tours, but so much of the modern, and by modern, we'll say the last 200 years, taste of Irish whiskey and scotch actually starts about 300 miles from here.
In Kentucky.
In Kentucky, yeah. with the barrels, the bourbon barrels, mm-hmm. that are shipped over. And, you know, John Jameson, who, you know, was the guy who got it all running for the Jameson distillery, you know, they used Kentucky barrels from the start. So it really just amazed me that, you know, the flavor there was set, the American flavor was such an important part of their ingredients.
So, Brendan, like, if you were to pick a whiskey, like, you're looking at everything, and you're going to have the best glass, you're going to enjoy it, you're going to sit down here, what are you going to pick?
So, yeah, well, it's a challenge, because you walk into Chief O'Neill's, and as you look at the bar, to the left of the harp is all brown spirits. So, I would say one of my favorites would have to be, well, it's very hard to get. There was a Jameson Special Limited Reserve.
Did you show me that, or what did you show me?
I bought the bottle that is only available at the distillery in Dublin, which is something to that effect. They're like, yeah, it is a limited distillery edition.
You know, they ran out of it. It was a vintage reserve, and it was just, we're on the list waiting to get it.
Really? When, so you're on a list or something?
We're
like
on a list. Yeah, we're on a list to get it. And
so it's safe to say Brennan's not having anything to drink.
I'm holding out.
He's holding out, waiting on the list for something like that.
Well, if I wasn't before, I guess I am now, honey.
Yeah. So now, what
it
about
ran
you?
Out. Well, actually, I am not a big whiskey drinker, but I have to point out to all the newcomers, which I am, would be a newcomer, is that I'm very interested in the gins and vodkas that they are now handcrafting in Ireland.
Okay.
So this is my main...
Which we're going to try tonight.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is exciting for me.
Your vodka.
I've never been a big whiskey drinker, but I do appreciate it and everything. And but for me, the revival of the Irish spirits is all the new gin and vodkas.
Gotcha. How about you, Martin?
I would say, well, I'm an Irish whiskey fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the Father Flanagan of Irish whiskeys, and that I've never met. There's no such thing as a bad Irish whiskey. I would have to say, though, my go-to when I travel a lot, mm-hmm. and almost every bar, especially a hotel bar, will have Blackbush.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Blackbush from the Bushmills Distillery. The Bushmills 16-year-old single malt is fantastic. It's triple matured bourbon, sherry, and port finished. And then, but also Redbreast, which is a single
which
pot
I just tried.
Whiskey.
That is really good.
It's an amazing whiskey. Fantastic. Yeah. And if you can get a hold of a, and afford a bottle of the 21-year-old, it's
that's
to
a
die
one.
For.
That's a big one. Chris, what about you? It's your last glass of whiskey. What are you going to choose?
You know what? I got to chime in with Redbreast, too. It's just so smooth. Although, and this is some tourist info, if people are going to visit, there is a wonderful, the other Mr. Duffy mentioned Bushmills. There is a wonderful tourist attraction in the northern north of Ireland in Northern Ireland called Giant's Causeway, which is a beautiful seacoast. And the Bushmills Distillery is literally at the end of the driveway of the Giant's Causeway.
Wow.
So you make a left turn and you're like, oh, we're here.
Wow,
so
that's pretty cool.
Two little amazing visits at once. But
and the Carrick Rope Bridge.
Right.
Don't forget that. The little weird rope bridge from...
And then,
the bejeebers out of
Dark Hedges from Game of Thrones. You know, it says about 10 miles from there. But, Redbreast is just so smooth. But it's also something special that I treat myself.
What do we have first? What are we going to try? And I know folks listening in, we're trying whiskeys here, but we'll try to give you our best description and history of some of the whiskeys that we're trying here. What's the first one here?
The first one we're having is Writer's Tears. Now, this is a whiskey that came over a couple of years ago, but was always highly sought after in Ireland. It's made by the Walsh Whiskey Company, which has just recently gone through a kind of a funky change. They had partnered up with DiSerrano, the Amaretto folks, who helped them build the distillery, but then they just had a falling out. So now the Walsh family are on their own again. But originally what they were doing was sourcing whiskey and then vatting it, playing around with different barrels. This is very common. They do it in Scotland. Excuse the voice. I was... In Minnesota,
you probably need more whiskey.
Yeah.
They also do a fair amount of that with wine, where they'll source the wine from different from different vineyards and kind of blend it and cask it themselves. So,
but they do a beautiful job here. And what this is a vatting of triple distilled single malt and triple distilled single pot still. So what they're doing is getting single malt from Bushmills, because only Bushmills triple distill single malt.
Is that an Irish thing that it's triple distilled all this?
It's one of the things they're, it's not a fast rule, but it is something that they're known for. I mean, the Kilbeggan Distillery, which is owned by Beam, which is right down the road here, they only double distill. The Teelings are now triple distilling. A lot of them are going back to that because that's what really helped differentiate Irish whiskey from Scotch whiskey.
And what would we describe this to our listeners? Like what are we tasting here? It's very light.
Oh.
Very light, very smooth.
And to pass along information you'll get on the Jameson tour, to properly enjoy the bouquet of an Irish whiskey, you have to sniff it with your mouth open. You know, just kind of put it under, keep the mouth open.
All right.
You know.
And if you're salivating, what do you do then?
Yeah. If you're a dribbler,
don't do that.
Well, no. So one of the reasons for that is if your nose is very sensitive to alcohol, putting the whiskey underneath your nose, but breathing it through your mouth instead of your nose, it eliminates the alcohol, and so you'll actually kind of taste it on the back of your tongue. But Irish whiskey is the pussycat of whiskeys. It really is.
Yep.
I mean, very few.
Is this a reference to the formerly known Celtic tiger?
Oh my God. Look at the size of that cat. It's blonde, a big blonde cat.
And watch for the claws.
Yeah.
So, when you're, it's kind of interesting. So, we were talking about Redbreast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you Redbreast is pretty bold. I mean, when the first time I ever tasted it, it reminded me a lot of a bourbon. There's a real bourbon quality to it. And for folks who don't know, a single pot still is just malted and unmalted barley. So green barley and barley that has been germinated.
Okay.
So they mix those together, and it's that green barley, that unmalted barley, that gives it this really kind of a flavor that just grabs you. It
it's
really
an
does.
Uppercut.
It is. It's a John L. Sullivan uppercut.
There you go.
I'm the great nephew of John L. Sullivan.
Okay,
you know.
All right.
So, anyways, it's a beautiful whiskey, and I hope the Walsh family is not going to be put out of business. I hope they keep on producing
crying
this.
In their tears and making their
their own writers' tears.
Gotcha. What do we have next? We've got another whiskey here.
So this is Slain. Mm-hmm. This is a newer kid on the street, but they have some big backing. So Slain Castle, it's an estate northwest of Dublin, and it's a father and son team. They actually had a music venue there, but they were getting into sourced whiskey. So they were doing that for quite some time, pulling whiskey from where they could. A lot of times Bushmills, sometimes the former Cooley Distillery. And then they went into business with Brown-Forman, folks who make Jack Daniels, built a brand new distillery of their own. This is still not the whiskey from that distillery yet.
Oh.
Because as we all...
I shouldn't have brought it then.
No,
but you two brought me a bottle, I think, last St. Patrick's Day, and I've been nursing it ever since. It's really something special as well, I think.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to what Brendan was saying about wine. What they're doing with this is that they're playing around with different barrels. Whiskey gets 100% of its color, comes off the still crystal clear, but it gets 100% of its color from the wood that it's matured in.
Okay.
And then it also gets about 60% of its flavor from the wood. And if you're playing around with different types of barrels, so they use virgin oak, they'll use seasoned oak, which would be a former bourbon barrel, or it might even be a former
wine
Irish
barrel.
Whiskey barrel.
Yep, and wine barrel, too, green
wine
stuff.
Well, and a lot of the barrels, they flame them out. They'd flame out the barrels to kind of seal in insides,
that's mostly...
Flame it out on the outside.
On the inside, okay. They char the inside.
Okay. That gives the flavor.
It opens up the wood. It caramelizes the sugar inside the wood. They do that very specifically in Kentucky, because bourbon has to be aged in a charred oak barrel. But in Ireland and Scotland, when they're using, say, sherry barrels, they don't do that. Nope. Those barrels, they want that sherry to leach out, and that's the third barrel that they're using. So you'll pick up a kind of a sweet, fruity wine
and
character.
And I can almost smell that, too, when I'm giving a little sniff.
In this fine...
I know. I was just going to say that.
Quite plastic,
crystal.
Yeah,
Glencairn.
Crystal.
This crystal Glencairn.
When we first started doing this 5 years ago, I think we were drinking out of foam.
We progressed.
This is an upgrade to what we're doing here, everybody.
And not the 800 horsepower McLaren.
It might have been McLaren. It might have been
zero to drunk and 50 drinks.
That's great.
Now another tale from Ireland is so. We were told that when you drink these potions, that you feel American bourbon in your throat, you feel Scotch whiskey in your chest, and you feel Irish whiskey in your stomach.
So. I say you feel Irish whiskey in your heart.
Oh, very nice.
All right, hold on, write that down.
I love that. I love that.
It's close to Valentine's Day.
It really is.
That kind of depends.
A little bit of
the person
there,
and also the strength of the whiskey. But
I would think so.
I always think bourbon. Bourbon flares out. You feel that in your lungs.
Oh yeah, immediately. Oh,
yeah, that'll wake you up in the morning.
So we've got three other spirits here. What is the next one that we're going to talk about?
So now we get into the gins, the Irish gins.
So you think of going to an Irish pub, you think of beer and whiskey. But as you said, this is something that's kind of new and fresh these distilleries are coming up with some vodkas and gins that they can call their own.
Yeah, there's a huge wave of gins. In fact, in Dublin, there's just gin bars just doing...
Really?
Yes.
We noticed that away last
cocktail
year on our tour.
Bars.
Gin was just, and particularly among younger drinkers, like in the 20s and 30s, gin was like... Yeah, we were like, hey, we came here for whiskey.
I worked for Diageo for 2 years in Dublin as their reserve brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. And I worked right out of James's Gate where they make Guinness. And I was, every morning I'd walk into work and it'd smell like a big percolator of coffee. Mm-hmm. But then I go out and try to they wanted an American to come over and train the trade on spirits and cocktails. Mm. And it was just kind of taken off. They were still getting their feet wet. Now you go over. I was just over about a few weeks before Chris was. I was in Dublin. I was blown away by the number of whiskey bars. And at the time, too, when I was there, whiskey was still the old man's drink.
Hmm.
Now,
yeah. Oh, my grandpa drank that.
The big cocktails, the big drinks were mojitos and cosmopolitans, and everyone was still talking about Sex in the City as if I didn't go off the air 10 years earlier.
Right. Oh, wow. Wow. All right, so what do we have here?
So this is Glendalough.
Mm-hmm.
Glendalough is named after a lock down in the Wicklow Mountains. Sean, you might know more a little bit about St. Kevin, right? You'll see on the label, you'll see a man standing there, like, you know, with his arms upraised, little bird. And he supposedly did that for like a couple of weeks.
Long time.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a legend behind that.
Yeah,
okay.
Until the bird flew away, I think was the whole thing. And, this
and he said, thanks be to God, I've been dying for a drink.
Yeah, probably. I would think so.
Yeah, gosh darn bird. get away. But Glendalough, I actually had the privilege of going down to see the distillery and actually forage for some of the botanicals. They go up into the Wicklow Mountains. They have a naturalist who will go up there and pick them by hand and bring them back down.
This is not your father's gin.
No.
At all. I mean, the flavor's beautiful. Yeah. And it's just lovely.
And you know, I think it's
botanicals
enough flavor in itself just to drop one ice cube, just kind of stir it up and just, you know.
Right.
Or
just
a little chill. This would be a nice one, a martini. And as anyone knows, a good gin martini is not shaken, is stirred.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I was alluding to.
This would be delicious.
Yeah. Just to chill it, just to give it that little bit of a chill, pull the ice out, and away you go. Yeah.
Or, you know what? You know, it would be really good if you guys had a freezer.
Right.
You put that in a freezer and just pour it straight into a chilled glass cold.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know what would even be better? If we had it in the freezer and we had a straw into the bottle.
Yeah.
And it could get over to the Lazy Boy.
I think you have to do that. Well, I think you should do that on the 16th and 17th. Just one big-ass straw
just
coming
straw.
From behind the bar would be perfect.
So just to remind your listeners again that all of these, plus 48 more different whiskeys and things, will be available at Chief O'Neill's on March 1st. And, of course, tickets are available for sale at chiefoneillspub.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having such a good time. We'll probably forget to mention that at the end of the show.
And there'll be some food. It'll be food, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Some food and some wonderful Irish music.
Lovely, of course.
And Brennan and I will perform as well. And, of course, Marty will be there.
I will be passed out in the corner.
In the recliner.
In the recliner.
Before
Where is that straw leading?
Before anybody arrives, you'll be there. All right, so what is the next one we have here?
So that's Oranac. Okay. Oranac was... is also produced by the fellow who is going who produces the vodka that we're going to have.
Okay.
And again,
it smells like a new car.
Yeah.
What are we driving?
I don't know. That's what I'm getting.
Now, if you can convince the police officer that is a new car smell, officer, don't mind that it's a 73 Pinto.
Officer.
That is a new car smell.
Officer,
oh,
I was sucking at my seats, and that is why my breath has a new car smell.
David, you hear me?
Oh, my God.
You just put an idea in a million different
ways. Yes, I did.
Do not try this at home.
I did.
Well, the great thing about all these spirits coming from Ireland is they're really trying to source everything local, whether it's whiskey, trying to find local barley. This is also barley-based.
It's very clean.
Four times distilled in copper stills, which is not cheap. Usually they're made in these column stills or continuous stills.
Okay.
So this is kind of nice. Also, when you do pot stills, you don't take the first part to come off the still or the last part. You only take the heart. So it's considered the best, the most flavorful, the least harsh.
There's amazing flavor in this.
Yeah.
And Patrick does an amazing job. I mean, this is something that if you look at the bottle on the back, you'll see all of the botanicals listed.
I see.
Around the side.
Yep.
And I think it is a real fine spirit, and it's a bit introductory. The price has not caught up with the reality of the cost of production. It's an introductory thing for sure, mm-hmm. I think.
I think I have a Chevy live read or something I'm supposed to be doing shortly here. I better get those in before before I have too much of this. Okay, what is the last one here?
A Chevy for Chevy cars while we're drinking.
Yeah. So the new car smell. That's what we do here.
Only two more. Concullen?
No, there's no Concullen.
There's no Concullen.
Oh, we got one more.
We have one more.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, I did.
So we've got one more here. What do we have? It's a vodka.
Yes. Okay. But it's not your everyday vodka. This is very unique in that it is a peated vodka. And what they do is they'll actually age in a barrel, and the barrel has been fired up by peat fires.
Oh.
So then they put the vodka in. So it's not like single malt scotches from Scotland or Connemara from Cooley. They actually peat the barley. Here it is the barrel that's actually peated. They throw the vodka in, and it adds an amazing character. I mean, the spirit just soaks up all that smoke. And I believe we're doing Bloody Marys within it.
It is a clear spirit, but if you look at the bottle, it has that little bit of bog water kind of brown, that turfy little kind of grayish brown hue to it, you know?
So my son can't drive me, so I'll have to take a Lyft or an Uber. I can tell already just how I'm feeling right now. So is this more your thing? Like, are you more gin, Siobhan?
Yes.
Or more gin than vodka?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And what does the Kalak mean?
Oh, that's the name for the Celtic queen of winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a perfect drink for this time of year.
Nice.
And people are loving our Bloody Marys with this. It's great.
It makes them feel like royalty.
Yeah. Celtic queen of winter.
So tickets are $35, are now on sale, and you can get all that information at chiefoneillspub.com. It's an over 21 event. So don't bring your kids to this event. I have a valid ID that's legal to do this. And it gets Irish food and Irish whiskey for like $35. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some rockin' Irish traditional music.
Yes.
That's right.
Of course.
Yes.
Naturally. Now, I don't want to be remiss, too, because St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner, too. What's the big plan?
Big plan this year. We're getting everything into 3 days because it's Saturday's parade day. So we're opening early on Friday morning. So come at 9 a.m. and stay till Sunday night.
Oh, man.
Well, there it is.
Well, and you have a tent, too, which is great. I mean, you really expanded to the back of the building.
Bring a razor and a pillow.
Oh, forget the razor. The pillow. I like the pillow. Forget the razor. You look
good. A Tic Tac or two occasionally.
Right.
A Tic Tac or two. So, and then there's always, of course, Sunday brunch. And I have to mention for you Catholics out there who are guilty and have to eat fish on Fridays, too, Lent begins March 6th, which is just around the corner. So you got to check out the fish fry. That's like fabulous. It's legendary, actually.
Good. Yes, we're going to have lots for everybody because they'll come hungry because it's all you care to eat.
Are you care to eat?
Well, there's
not a challenge here.
I love your brunch. Your brunch is fabulous.
You're forced to eat.
Yeah.
What I like about it.
And if you got a little hair of the dog from Friday night going out, Saturday morning brunch at Chief O'Neill's is the place to be. And again, for tickets, you want to go to chiefoneillspub.com. It's the first annual Irish Spirits Festival. And for all the information on the St. Patrick's Day activities, too, you can catch that there as well. And of course, enjoy your Irish spirits responsibly.
Yeah, that's
of course.
Yes, cheers to that.
Also, if I could plug, I have my Irish whiskey class the following day on March 2nd, and then also March 9th at the Irish American Heritage Center. Tickets available on eventbrite.com.
You're absolutely welcome to do that as well. Yeah. So thank you so much. So Brennan and Siobhan McKinney, Martin Duffy, of course, and our own Chris Duffy. Thanks for all joining us tonight.
Cheers. Good job, Slots. Cheers.
All right, it's 720 WGN.